Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to mortgage protection, trust Zurich. Get the advice you need from a financial broker today.
Well, some are wondering if we're in the middle of another COVID wave, but as a country, generally, I think we're cautiously optimistic that we've left the worst of COVID behind us. But for those suffering the long COVID effects, it is still their everyday reality. And research out today from the Long COVID Clinic in the Mater Hospital reveals that patients are primarily suffering with brain-related health conditions as opposed to heart and lungs, that psychological and psychiatric problems like depression or anxiety are of concern. I'll speak shortly to a person who is suffering with long COVID. But first, I'm joined by Professor Seamus Lennon, who set up the Long COVID Clinic in the Beacon Hospital. Professor Lennon, you're very welcome to the programme, and thank you very much indeed for joining us. Were you surprised that long COVID sufferers are susceptible and are feeling psychological and psychiatric problems?
I think it's a very interesting report out today. I think it chimes with a number of the features that we have certainly seen with the patients attending our clinics, that the psychological impact, both directly and indirectly, of their acute illness is having a major impact in terms of their recovery. I think the very interesting additional features that this research, which was released today, brings to the fore, and which certainly surprised us as well, was their identification of alcohol and problems with alcohol in terms of people attending their clinics.
Yeah. We'll come to that in just a second. What are you seeing then in terms of the effects of long COVID at your clinic?
So we see what are described as clusters of symptoms, and these are symptoms which tend to be grouped together. This is often described as a syndrome, very much because of the fact that there's a large range or a wide gamut of features that people present with. So we certainly continue to see people presenting with respiratory symptoms of breathlessness and cough, or cardiac symptoms of chest pain or palpitations. I think the neuropsychiatric symptoms that are being highlighted today are very prevalent, and those are features of anxiety, sometimes some frank depressive symptoms, and also features that are reminiscent of post-traumatic stress disorder, where people have had such a difficult and stressful time that they have features seen in PTSD, such as flashbacks, sleep disturbance, and that all feeds into symptoms that patients report in terms of difficulties with cognitive processes. People describe brain fog, and really an impairment in terms of their mental acuity or mental functioning.
Yeah, it's frightening for an awful lot of people, isn't it? Stay with me, Professor Seamus Lennon, if you can, for just a moment. I'm joined by Olga Worley as well, who has long COVID. Olga, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, thanks, Cormac.
How are you, first of all?
It's not a linear thing. It's very much a wavy journey. So I think we're all in various stages of up and down. And I'm part of the Long COVID Ireland group. So we were kind of reacting to this study with a lot of interest today.
Yeah, and what did you make of it then? Like, for, let me give some of the stats to people, and the professor has outlined it very well there, but some of the stats for people who haven't heard this: over 18% of participants in this study had moderate to severe signs of depression for at least 1 year. 13% of participants had moderate to severe anxiety for at least 1 year. Over 20% of participants had findings consistent with PTSD for at least 1 year. And 72% of participants had concerning alcohol use at 1 year.
First of all, it's a study of 155 people. So I think we need to put that in context as well. A lot of the neuropsychiatric results that are coming through, I think many of us would identify with. The alcohol one is interesting because a lot of people seem to report alcohol intolerance, but there has been, I don't think it's any big surprise to see that people with chronic illness, when there is a lack of access to care pathways, do self-medicate with things they can find easily, such as alcohol, which is sedative and analgesic. So I suppose that's not really too surprising in one sense either.
So are you saying that if there was greater and more efficient access to care pathways, if you felt as a long COVID patient that you were making progress, you wouldn't self-medicate? Is that it? That you generally answer?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I'm living in the Dublin area. I'm from Sligo originally. For people in the Northwest, there's very little in terms of access to long COVID support. There's a HSE interim model of care that was published a year ago, but I don't see any sign of it coming to fruition yet. But the proposed post-acute long COVID clinics that they're proposing on a map just leaves people really stuck in terms of what they're able to get in terms of medical support up to 12 weeks and then after 12 weeks. So I kind of feel there is a gap there. And maybe what the study is good for is it shines a light on, okay, there are problems here. There is a sick bunch of people here. There's a lot more coming down the tracks. What can we do for them? And what next?
And what do you think should be done that isn't being done, Olga?
Well, for a start, I don't think they know how many of us there are in this country, which is problematic because they're using a lot of data from the UK and based on case numbers of people who have had COVID, first of all. And I think it would be really prudent to try and ascertain how many people with long COVID there are in the country. There are 3,000 of us, at least, in the long COVID group on Facebook and Twitter. But I imagine there's many more because this mostly people will access our group who are English language speakers. But if you want to provide equity of access for people to healthcare, you have to reach them in the communities they're living. And they're not all in Dublin and Cork and Galway. Yeah. And they're all around the country and they have to travel to see consultants and people are paying out of pocket. So I kind of feel it's interesting to read this kind of pilot study. But if we're going to prioritise funding into research, why not put it into something that will actually benefit the health outcomes of patients themselves rather than me gaslighting a little?
Before we go back to the professor, how long have you had long COVID, Olga?
So I've had COVID twice, actually. So the first time was in December of 2020, and I'm a lot better than I was in the last 6 months, a year, whatever. But and I'm very lucky. Like, there are people who are sick since the first wave and not making much progress. And I've been really lucky to attend Seamus Linnane's service out in Beacon. And I'm also attending the Mater, their public long COVID clinic. And there are people around the country who just don't have access to that. And I just feel for them.
Okay, Professor Seamus Linnane, a gold star from Olga.
Thank you, Olga.
But is she right? Are there major gaps in the service? And what do you think should be done? I know you're conducting your own research there.
I think Olga points out very clearly the number of infections we have had is enormous. I think there are arguments and debates over what percentage of people who have an acute COVID illness go on to develop long COVID. But irrespective, it is a huge number of people. And these are people who, prior to two and a half years ago, were by and large very well. And it's very striking that a large percentage of patients presenting with long COVID don't necessarily have a history of other health conditions. So these are people who are new to health systems, both public and private. And this, as I was explaining earlier, is a large unmet health need. These are people who are really struggling very significantly. And there's nothing else. The research published today outlines the depth and the extent of the difficulties that people are suffering with. Okay. And so there has to be a response, and there has to be a whole system response where these people's needs are met and they're given the tools and or treatments to allow them to return to their lives, return to their education, their employment and their family.
Yeah, they have to be given some hope for sure. And it's a need that isn't being met, as you say, at the moment. Look, if you have long COVID, by the way, and you're listening to this and you feel it chimes with what you're feeling or you need to add some point, you can text us to 51551. A listener says, I have a question. How long can we expect long COVID to last for? I might put that one to you, Professor Seamus Linnane, before we finish the discussion.
So it's very clear from within Ireland and international studies that patients with long COVID, that as they progress through clinics, do tend to improve and progress. It's very episodic and it's up and down, and relapses are the norm. But the hope and the aspiration and what we do see happening is that people do get stronger and better as time goes by, but that's not a straight linear process.
Okay. Here's an unintended consequence of the result of that study that we mentioned earlier on in terms of alcohol. And I might put this one to you, Seamus. I have long COVID, says a listener, and I've been teetotal my entire life. I'm offended that we're being made out to have drinking problems. I feel like I can't tell anyone now that I have long COVID. What do you say to that person?
I don't read this research as saying that COVID is an alcohol-related problem. I think that they have maybe identified an issue in a subgroup of people who are using or misusing alcohol as a way to cope. Alcohol is not a major feature in our experience in this clinic, but different clinics see different groups of patients. And I do not equate long COVID as an alcohol abuse problem. I think what has been identified is maybe a symptom or a coping strategy, but clearly they will tell us more as they learn more about their particular cohort of patients.
Okay. Look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Olga Worley, I wish you a full recovery ASAP, and I hope that you do make a full recovery. And Professor Seamus Lennon, thank you very much indeed for that.